A New Beginning, Part 13, The Peace of Our Founder. We've been talking about the nature of our faith's founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do so because we can't be true followers of Jesus unless we walk in his ways. We've considered his humility and gentleness, his compassion, his empathy, his beauty, and today we want to consider his peace. The scriptures tell us that not only is Jesus full of peace, he is peace itself. Peace with God, peace with others. Peace that passes all understanding. And everyone who is in Christ is in his peace. Jesus ought to know something about peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, when Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Messiah, he said this about him, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So let's look at what the scriptures tell us about his peace. First and foremost, Jesus is our peace with God. For Jesus reconciled us to the living God, whom we were estranged from due to sin. 1 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." The person who has no peace with God has no peace. But through Jesus, we are reconciled with God. But this peace from the Prince of Peace goes farther than our relationship with God. It extends to others. The Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles, which was anyone who wasn't a Jew. Jews and Gentiles were at enmity with one another. But we read in Ephesians 2:11, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Brought near. This is reconciliation. "You who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." The dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles that went back generations. For ages and ages there was this hostility between Jews and non-Jews, and Jesus destroyed this barrier and brought them together in himself. Then it says, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Peace with God. Peace between Jews and Gentiles, and peace in the church. Can you imagine that there would need to be peace brought between people in the same church? Yes, peace in the church. Because Satan is always working hard to destroy the peace of the church. And here's why. God's work on earth is all about his kingdom. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's work is done through his kingdom, and his kingdom is manifested on earth through his church. Just listen to this, Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Do you hear those words? Built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit? Ah, but if Satan can divide the church, no unity, no church, no church, no kingdom. That's why Paul writes in Philippians 4:2, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord, or to be of the same mind in the Lord. In the Lord. It's only in the Lord that we have peace with one another for any length of time. We don't know what this disagreement between these two women was about. But it was so important to Paul and to God that God saw to it that we would be talking about it 2,000 years later. Imagine how quickly they would have settled their issues if they knew we would be talking about them even now. Or they would probably say it was such a silly thing in retrospect. But even before Euodia and Syntyche, in the very earliest days of the church, we see problems. Jesus had been raised from the dead and proved this to his followers. Then he handed off the church to the apostles and ascended to heaven. Then came the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this wonderful time of celebration and unity began. People all came together to start something so new and wonderful that would change the world forever. And you can't imagine that there would be anything but bliss and happy fellowship. But not so. There was division in the early church. Acts 6:1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Oh, this was pure prejudice. Hebraic Jews considered themselves to be the pure Jews, the real Jews. And the Hellenistic Jews were perverted by their assimilation to the Roman way of life. So they were being treated as second-class citizens. So verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So that's what they did. They appointed the first church deacons to address this disunity. And peace came once again to the community. But not for long. There were divisions in the church of Corinth to the degree that people in the church were taking each other to court. 1 Corinthians 6:7. Paul said, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you've been completely defeated already. Defeated. Not just having a hard time. Not just partially defeated. completely defeated. Already completely defeated. And Paul has a suggestion for them. Why not rather be wronged? Oh no, I can't do that. I have rights. Well, fine, but what good is it to have our rights and our way if we only destroy the work of God over our rights? There was a dispute in the early church whether Christians should eat meat or just vegetables, because the meat for sale in the market had been offered in sacrifice to idols. But some were saying, I have the freedom to eat meat because Jesus gave me that freedom, and I'll do that right in front of you, and if you have a problem with that, too bad. But Paul said in Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. That's what Paul said about the matter. Because the work of God is precious, and our being at peace with one another is precious. So I'll conclude with Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. We don't have to make the unity. The Holy Spirit has already done that. But it takes maintaining. And it takes every effort. Jesus brought us peace. The Holy Spirit brought us peace. But it's our job to maintain that peace. More on the peace of Jesus next week.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide, oh, life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.